Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Monday, July 29th, 2019. Forgive me, I'm just updating my website. My nose is running. I'm a mess.
Monday.
Yes, it's one of those days. As we open, I'm just updating the latest news from the CFL and the Hamilton Tiger Cats, which we will get to in mere moments. It's a brand new episode of the program, obviously, number 41, as we come to you from the bunker here in sunny and hot Western Canada today. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. I guess if I'm Willis, that makes you Arnold.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to you at all?
That doesn't. Do I need a...
Oh, can somebody clue him in, please?
I'm on it. I'm
on different it. Strokes.
Okay.
It is the warm-up right now. It's going to be a special warm-up. We're going to be joined in moments, we believe, by Calgary Stampeders offensive tackle Derek Dennis on an off day for the Stamps. Mike Abometric will be joining us right here in the bunker a little later on, either during or after the interview with one Derek Dennis. Mike Abometric, a 10-year CFL veteran, Grey Cup champion with the Riders, but of course he also played in Winnipeg and Ottawa. A really big treat, I believe, for everybody, but particularly me. Ivan Goodfriend will be joining us on the program in the bunker today. 38 years as the Saskatchewan Rough Riders athletic therapist, back when they referred to him as trainers. They don't like that anymore. Did you know that? Don't right. call them trainers. They'll always say, trainers are for dogs. We're athletic therapists. Ivan will be in the bunker.
That's exciting.
Imagine how many stories that guy's got.
Oh, he's got them all.
With 38 years with Canada's team.
Yep.
As we always do in the warm-up, just loading up what we're going to talk about. Hey, number 41's all time. I'll guarantee you have had no time to look into who might have worn number 41.
I have not.
I knew it. So I did. Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
Would be a big one of the Dallas Mavericks fame. Tom Seaver. Do you need to Google that one?
Yeah,
the pitcher. Yeah. And Jason Allison of Boston Bruins fame.
Right.
Not really.
Cup of coffee.
But he did wear number 41. And his producer, no, from Stephen Numidal, number 41, Head Kraken Brackenridge, Tyron Brackenridge. Ding, ding, ding. I think we have a winner.
That wins the day.
Oh, very early on in the show, we have our winner of number 41.
I can see it now. I can see him with 41. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Gary Rogers, Aaron Nodge writing in from Yorkton. Here's some good ones. Gary's probably watching this morning from St. Petersburg, Florida. Gary Rogers, former Riders D lineman. Fred Perry.
Yes.
Right, said Fred. Fred Perry, number 40. Hey, now we got him going here. You fans of other CFL teams, if you want to write in with players that you can remember of your teams, you're more than welcome to. So Dirk Nowitzki, Tom Seaver, Jason Allison, Tyron Brackenridge, Fred Perry, G. Rog, Gary Rogers, quite a few. Obviously, we're getting into game thoughts from the Riders' demolition of the BC Lions the other night, 45-18. And thanks to Ballers. Big shout-out to Ballers Rec Room for hosting our watch party. Our first-ever watch party was a smashing success. And for that, I thank our viewers and listeners that came down. And Ballers for rolling out the red carpet. We had our director of scouting there, Craig Smith. Sponsors were there. We had a VIP table for sponsors of the program, which we told them, you sponsor this show, you'll get VIP treatment. You'll get in all the best parties. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Oh, it was so much fun.
But it was rolling into craziness. It's still on the Dudney Strip, you know. It was going that way once the kids left and the not kids rolled in.
Crazy adjacent is kind of how it was. It was right there for sure. But it was fun. Played some air hockey.
That's the whole idea.
Pac-Man. Yeah, it was good.
Fun is the whole idea. And, of course, we kicked around a lot on Friday the thoughts of the Thursday doubleheader in the CFL, so I won't go there again. Friday Night Football, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers came back to Earth. They lost in Hamilton 23-15, but the Ticats were the big losers. And when I say that I was updating my website here when we went to air, it's because they've officially gotten around, the Ticats have, to announcing David Watford. They've signed David Watford. That's not going to save their season. And this has led to today's Capital GMC Universal Collision Center poll. Which CFL East team's quarterback injury is the most devastating to the club? In alphabetical order, Masoli in Hamilton, Pipkin in Montreal, Dominic Davis in Ottawa, James Franklin in Toronto. Which one? And I checked the stats already. There's getting a lot of votes on that. By far, it's Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Does this blow their season? Because, by the way, they did beat Winnipeg with Dane Evans at quarterback the other night.
Give you an idea. I was talking to Craig Smith at our watch party, and I said, so is Montreal going to win the East? They have a legit shot to win the
East
right now. And he's like, you know what? You're not wrong. He's like, all the signs point to it. If you don't have a quarterback, it's awfully tough to compete. And I know the names that came out right away, Kevin Glenn, Travis Lule, Darian Durant, were all top of mind for people looking for somebody to come in. Then you heard the Watfords, you heard Matthews, you've heard even trade for a guy like Brandon Bridge as a backup to start with.
Right.
If the Hamilton Tiger Cats are a Grey Cup contender, and they really believe they're a Grey Cup contender.
Which they did.
They need a starting quarterback, a quality starting quarterback if they're going to be a Grey Cup contender. And right now they are. This is the best shot that they've had to win a Grey Cup in the last number of years, in my mind. They've got a great team. They got a good defense. They've got great weapons. They had a good quarterback. But they don't need to rush because the cushion they have, because how well they've been playing, the win over Winnipeg, they've got a couple of weeks to see how the dust settles, to see how they're...
See what they have.
See how their depth plays out, and then it's time to panic. So the Watford signing isn't a big deal. It's great for depth. You want to have him as your number. He probably comes in and might be your number two, or at least your number three on that team.
Yeah. So comments coming in on the Facebook feed from Dan Heimbecker saying, what do you guys think of a Zach Caleros trade to Hamilton? I can't see the Ticats doing that. Although Eric Tillman engineered the trade for Caleros out here and Eric's not in Hamilton anymore. Maybe those guys would want him back, but we'll mention that to Abu a little later on, and maybe even Ivan. Continuing on, because you say you've got big news. I don't know what it is. We can continue to ask, is Cody Fajardo the next one here in the 306? It's really starting to look like he is. People are giving Steve Walsh a lot of credit for what Fajardo's done. That's the quarterback's coach. Give the credit to Fajardo. I know coaching's important. Cody's going out and doing it. Brandon Bridge had the same quarterback coach, the same OC. He didn't do it. You got to go out and you got to do it. And Fajardo's doing it. Firings. None yet, but it ain't even noon yet. Claybrooks, Chamberlain, Campbell. Are we to expect a firing in the Canadian Football League?
Before the show's over, perhaps. No, I don't know if it's imminent, if that's going to happen, but it could. It very well could if teams want to turn their season around, especially in the East. There's opportunity knocking. It's wide open.
Here's my prediction. Here's my bold prediction that there will be an assistant coach firing in BC this week. There, just to send a message.
Yeah.
Because that's what teams do.
Okay.
So you can't afford to fire Devone Claybrooks, but you can probably afford to discard a position coach. Mm-hmm. And I looked at their staff. Man, it is a young group over there. Keith Stokes, Nick Lewis, Brian Chu. It's not to say they're not great coaches. This is unfortunate what's going on in BC. It really is.
Could be the same thing in Toronto, too. You know, there's a lot of heat on Jacques Chaptelin and that offense for the Toronto Argonauts, right? So could that be, you know, a domino that falls early?
That's my prediction. An assistant coach will be fired in the CFL this week. And, right, might not just be BC, could be Toronto, could be Ottawa, but somebody will walk the plank. So we'll keep our eye open for that. Marcus Stroman dealt to the New York Mets on the weekend. Big news.
Apparently he lost it in the clubhouse once he found out. Did not take the news well.
I thought he wanted out of there. I thought he was openly opining and campaigning to be dealt.
That's what I thought. And then he comes out and says how much he loves Toronto in his goodbye tweet.
Crocodile like tears.
Like they all do, right?
Like Kawhi Leonard?
But the tweet I saw this morning was all the commotion in the clubhouse the other day was apparently from Stroman, who did not take the news well.
This is why it's going to be so outstanding to have Mike Abou-Meshrick on the panel, because he's from Toronto, and we can talk about the emotional baggage that Toronto sports fans carry. Now, granted, the Raptors won, so that's awesome, but that Kawhi was gone, you know, before the cigar smoke was gone and the champagne was out of their eyes. The Stars don't want to be there. They don't. Except for Johnny Tavares, who's from there.
Yeah.
So you get that, but that's why Toronto sports fans carry a lot of baggage. And if Abu had showed up on time, he'd have been here to be able to talk about it, but he didn't show up on time.
But he also got to enjoy New York for a while. It's not like he wanted to be there the whole time.
Abu?
No, Tavares.
Oh.
And maybe he did.
Wait, where's your PJs? Where's your... jammies. That's what
the
it was,
jammies.
Right? Jammies. Speaking of, there's no hockey going on right now, so if you hate hockey, enjoy this time. Just making you aware of that. Clark telling me we've got 2 minutes until what? Until we break or until we bring in Derek Dennis? Because I'd like to bring in Derek Dennis before we break. Okay. Oh, he's ready? Okay. Well, listen, all these things I want to talk about, Buffalo Days, the Rattlers Pro Ball Team, this is a home game week. We'll get to all that. But let's go to Calgary now. We've got Calgary Stampeders offensive tackle Derek Dennis joining us on video chat. You got your phones in. Good morning, Derek. How are things in the foothills?
I'm good, Ron. How you doing, man?
Good. I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning and talking some CFL ball. And if you don't mind, I got a lot of questions for you, but I want to go back to Ottawa on Thursday night and the game-winning drive on the Paradise field goal. What was the talk in the huddle? What was that drive like to win another one for your Stampeders?
Honestly, the talk wasn't really much. We knew we was going to win the game. Kind of, I think after Coach Campbell took that safety, it was kind of like a huh moment to us. And we was like, wow, he must think we're not going to finish this off, so let's go prove them wrong. So that was kind of the mindset going into that last drive.
Well, and then you did, yeah. Okay, I was as stunned as you were then that he took the safety. There's no doubt. But hey, tell me what Nick Arbuckle's like in a huddle versus Bo Levi Mitchell. Because to the naked eye, we're watching the games. There's not much difference other than one wears a 9 and one wears a 19. He looks very capable.
Nick is actually very good in the huddle. I mean, he's a coach's quarterback. He does what he's told. He runs the offense exactly how Dick Enum wants him to run the offense. And he just comes in there and he just kind of, you know, just does what he does. Like, he's not a rah-rah guy. He's not going to come in a huddle and talk crap. He's always got a smile on his face. He's very, very happy guy, you know, just loving the moment. And you can just tell by the way he's playing right now.
Derek, it's Darren DuPont. First of all, where is the red hair? I thought the signature red hair was going to be on the show today.
Oh, man. I actually had to retire the red hair for this year just because me putting all those chemicals in my head was kind of messing with my hair, and I didn't want to start thinning out and going bald too early. So
Tell me about it.
You're smart. That was a good call.
That's my biggest fear, man, is that the hair is going to be gone.
You're fine.
When you go to the dyeing hair, especially because there's so much chemicals and because my hair is naturally like a dark brown, I have to always like kind of bleach it first to like get it light enough so that when the red goes in, you can actually see it. So doing all that bleaching and stuff to your hair kind of like kills the follicles and stuff. And I feel like I have nice hair, so I don't want to damage it too early before it's time for it to go.
What I've learned,
smart move.
Yeah, if I'm starting to get a couple of grays, I'm not going to dye it because I think that'll make it go faster. Apparently, but this Calgary team, you've had some adversity early in the year, and this is not something that usually happens in Calgary. Is this good for the team to deal with some of the stuff early and take a little bit of a different path?
Honestly, I think going into the year, we knew that we have a very young team, and it wasn't going to be a I guess you could say that how we started of old, because at least when I've been here in Calgary, we've always had a very large group of veterans. And I feel like this year, the amount of veteran presence that we normally have on the roster that's playing is not as high as it's normally been. So it's going to be, you know, some learning curves. You know, we got a lot of rookies and a lot of second-year guys who probably didn't get a lot of action last year playing now. So it's more so of a learning curve. These guys just got to get game time experience and just kind of learn, go with the punches on the fly. But I think the team that we have and the guys we have, they've been doing an awesome job this year. I mean, if you look at the two games we lost, it wasn't like, they were blowouts. It was just, you know, kind of one or two plays away from winning those games as well. So I don't think we're in a bad place right now. We're probably not as clean as we want to be, or probably is not as most people are used to watching us be. But we have a very resilient group, and I think we got enough veteran leadership that's, you know, getting young guys acclimated to how we do things here in Calgary early on.
Stampeders offensive tackle Derek Dennis with us. And Derek, you're very thoughtful on Twitter. You're a must follow, obviously. And so when the Red Blacks announced yesterday that they released Jonathan Newsom, and Newsom said, if anybody is looking for a D end, you know, I'm available. And you retweeted, or you responded with a GIF of a Stampeder, of a horse running through the field. Were you openly campaigning for Newsom to come to Calgary or for the Stamps to sign him? What was that all about?
I mean, I always like to, I mean, you know, everybody knows me on Twitter. I play around. I like to joust. But, I mean, I know Newsom, man. He's a good friend of mine. We play video games online, you know, sometimes. So I know the type of player he is and the type of talent he has. And I think, it's kind of just one of those things where everybody knows, man, when you get a chance to come to Calgary, you always get utilized to the best of your ability. And you're going to get coached up, and you're going to have an opportunity to play for Grey Cup. So it was one of those things where if you wanted to get a quality player, you could probably help contribute and, you know, kind of do something for your team. I was just throwing it out there, let him know, man. I love Jonathan, man. I think he's a great football player. He plays with a lot of energy. And I think he just hasn't been getting a fair shake since he's been up there. So just one of those things.
I think you're 100% right. And one thing I'll never forget about Noose, and I love him too, played at Ball State, led the NFL in sacks by rookies when he was with the Colts. And he always says, never, ever worry. Has he ever told you that?
No.
Have you ever seen him worry? I mean, life seems to work out for Jonathan Newsom.
No, he never does, man. Even when I talk to him, man, I talked to him before the game, and I was kind of just trying to feel where his head was at, because I kind of see, like, where the situation was going for him. And I just wanted to, you know, see how he was doing. He was like, man, you know what I'm saying? I can only control what I can control, man. They let me get on the field. All I can do is, you know, just play 100 miles an hour and just let the chips fall where they go. So that's always been his mentality.
Derek, you got Edmonton in there on Saturday. I would expect that's probably the largest crowd of the season you'll have at McMahon. What's bigger for your team, games against the Riders or games against Edmonton? I know you hate them both, but does one bring a little more sizzle than the other?
Honestly, I feel like it's the same. I mean, Labor Day is always probably the biggest game that we ever get at McMahon, and that's just because of the rivalry and the history between Calgary and Edmonton and the proximity. So I think it's just be an early Labor Day, review. I think most people like to plan to come to McMahon for the Edmonton game for Labor Day, just because holiday weekend, you know, you can tailgate, you can do all that stuff and kind of enjoy it and not have to worry about, you know, going to work or whatever. So I'm looking forward to the game this weekend. It'll probably be a nice little preview to kind of figure out, you know, how things will shake out in the West, because right now it's kind of just everything's kind of neck and neck right now, in my opinion, outside of, you know, Winnipeg being 5-1, and that's just what it is.
Hey, just lastly, because so you're 4-2, and there's a lot of football left to be played. You guys are chasing another Western pennant. What is Huff's secret? And is it a disservice to Dickie to not lump him in there? It just seems like John Huffnagel, to me, is the savant. What is his secret?
Honestly, I don't think it's a secret. It's just more so of Huff. He does a great job of finding the guys that fit the system. It's just how it's always been. They go after certain players, and they kind of have an idea of how they want things to shake out, even way before they even get to that point. I think they just do a great job of planning ahead of time and knowing what they're going to do and having a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, and just executing it, man. And it's always been, I think my biggest thing is just the type of character that they bring into the locker room every year. It never changes, whether, you know, the numbers or the bodies or the names change, but the type of people and the character and the culture in the locker room, it never changes. So I think that's what they've been doing a great job and why it's always been continued success here.
Well, you just explained it very well. Derek, you're a great dude. I appreciate the time this morning, and good luck this week. We'll see you down the road.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Rob, man. Be good, fellas.
You betcha. Derek Dennis joining us from Calgary this morning, and I could kick around some of the thoughts on that, but we do need to take a break. We'll welcome Mike Abou-Meshrick to the bunker, and much more coming up on the program. This has been the warm-up in episode number 41 of the Rod Peterson Show from the bunker here in Western Canada. We'll be right back. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and find our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to 19 grand on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Back in a Monday morning, time for our first sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Marcus Stroman is heading home after weeks of trade speculation. The Blue Jays sent the All-Star pitcher to the New York Mets for a pair of pitching prospects. New York sending the Blue Jays 24-year-old lefty Anthony Kay and 18-year-old righty Simeon Woods Richardson in return. Another strong outing for starter Aaron Sanchez, but he's still without a win. In over 3 months, Sanchez pitched into the sixth inning and left with a 5-run lead, only for the Blue Jays to blow it and lose 10-9 against Tampa Bay on Sunday. And news out of the CFL this morning, the Hamilton Tiger Cats have officially signed former Rough Riders quarterback David Watford. This in response to Jeremiah Masoli having his season ended Friday night at Tim Hortons Field with a torn knee ligament in the Ticats' 23-15 win over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And that is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, and was the home of the first ever Rod Peterson Show watch party. Thanks to all who came out, and we had a great time watching the Riders destroy the BC Lions the other night, 45-18. So we're in the bunker. Darren DuPont's here. We welcome Mike Abou-Meshrick to the program. How are you, Abou?
Great to be back.
You got a lot more clothes on than the last time I saw you.
Yeah, this is probably the most clothes I've had on in 2 weeks.
There you go. No kidding. That pool party was awesome on Saturday. You throw the best pool parties.
It's not a party. It's just hanging out.
Fair.
At the house.
It was fun, though.
That's how we go. That's how we roll.
A beautiful day for it, too. 91 Fahrenheit.
It was. Sorry we couldn't come to the Ballers, but guaranteed we'll be at, I'd like to say all of them, but that's a pretty stiff guarantee.
Well, kids are welcome.
I know.
Kids always welcome, and you always bring your kids to my things, which I appreciate.
Yeah, so. I always bring the kid to Ballers, so it's like gum and nuts together at last. Rod Peterson, well, maybe a bit better than gum and nuts, but you know what
close,
I'm saying.
Close, right. Darren, before we go any further and delve back into the sports talk, and maybe this is sports talk, I don't know. You said you've got news this morning. You've got everybody all tantalized.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Clark doesn't know. What is it? It better be big.
I said it would be in the warm-up, but we ran into Derek Dennis. The Rod Peterson shop is finally open.
That's the news.
That's the news.
Huge news.
Ring the bell. And so rodpetersonshop.com, rodpetersonshop.com. It's also linked at your site, rodpeterson.com. And it's not public. So it's only open for fans of the show this morning. It's password protected, so you need the password. Exclusive to the 150 people who are watching or whatever it is and listening. The password, Riders Win.
Riders Win.
Riders Win will give you exclusive access to get to the front of the line before anybody else, but only until Noon Mountain. Once we're off the air, the site goes live to everybody.
What are we selling there?
All of the merch. So we've got stickers, we've got mugs, we've got golf balls all up at the shop. And
water.
We take water bottles. Yeah, we take your suggestions on new items coming soon. So
Clark wants to know the website again. You might have wanted to tell Clark, right?
RodPetersonShop.com.
I'm just busting your balls.
Peterson or Peterson?
Is that with an O?
Is that a D?
No, all E's. RodPetersonShop.com. Promo code.
E-Z-E.
Riders Win. How's that?
There you go.
Hey, we welcome everybody watching all around the world today, particularly our naval friend Donnie Mitchell. Good morning / afternoon from Ottawa. Ships ahoy, Don. And we will be missing you this Thursday when the Hamilton Tiger Cats are in town. The Jeremiah Masoli-less Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I feel like a boo. At some point, we'll talk about this Riders Win, but what everybody's talking about is the Tie Cats losing their starting quarterback Friday night.
Yeah, and I see where they're going. Masoli's not the drop-back quarterback and, five guys protecting. He's going to drop back and air it out. He's the guy that very much fits the system. They do a great job of catering to his skill set and making him even better. And that's what good football teams are all about. It's complementing people's skills. It's not getting about one. Basketball is a guy where you get one, well, now two or five guys, and then just have them run out, right? Football, you need everybody. You need people complementing each other. And that's what they do in Ottawa, from Speedy Banks to Masoli to, the plethora of running backs that they have to a tight end. They run a tight end and a fullback. Who does that? Nobody. So whatever quarterback's going in there, I like to think that the coaching staff would tweak it a little bit. I mean, they can't get too far away from their bread and butter because that's why they brought in Watford, because he's the guy who can run around a little bit, throw it a little bit. But they're going to lean heavily on their offensive line.
It would be more suited to Watford probably than Dane Evans. His style of play, right?
Yeah. That's why they brought him in.
But who's going to start this week in Regina? Watford or Dane Evans?
No, but they got a long season.
True.
And I don't think they're out of it yet. This is a Grey Cup caliber team, from their defense to their tight end. Can I keep bringing up their tight end?
Sure.
And that's my point, is that they're not doing what everyone else does. In 2 years, we'll be doing what they're doing if they're successful to it. So, and I almost want to go back to what Bone Crusher was saying earlier, and what they have in Calgary is that continuity. You know, when you got a sheet of paper or a bed sheet or whatever, and you have a hole in it, it's easy to clean it or easy to fix it. When you got, a crocheted blanket, there's too many holes there to fill in. You don't have anything. Right?
Now, I have never heard that analogy.
And so that's what
they like
have
it,
in Hamilton.
But
it's
I've
a
never
big
heard
rip. They got to bring it together. It's not going to be done with one player, but they need this type of player, and that's what they're bringing in. Wow. Steinauer gets it. He's a football player. Well, I'm just tying everything. It's been 3 weeks. I got so much
to say. You got everything to go, yeah.
And that's with BC. You mentioned the BC coaching staff. They're all players. Man, you know why I'm not a coach? Because I suck at coaching. I could play a little bit, but just because you can play doesn't mean you can coach.
Bill Belichick was no noted football player.
I can look at a painting.
There's no strategy or formula for that.
I can look at a painting, but you don't want me painting something for you.
But Steinauer, I believe, knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, man. That guy knows his. That's Stubler's guy. I played against him, Steinauer did everything. Stubbs just sat back and got praises for being an awesome defensive coordinator. Steinauer and O'Shea were running that Toronto defense.
So, pause for 1 second. I get the vibe from you that you feel Hamilton will be fine, as do I. I don't think their season's in the toilet. I just want to, this morning as we have coffee together, welcome or acknowledge some of the comments that have come in. Gerald Hesdorfer writes from Airdrie, Alberta, where he's watching this morning. He says, I've already got my Rod Peterson golf balls signed before the July 1st game. Listening in Airdrie. Do you remember me signing those? So we remember you, Gerald. I've never signed a golf ball before. That was pretty cool. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't have water bottles, and what else do we have?
The stickers and the
bumper
coffee cups.
Coffee cups, you need those.
Well, that's a big deal because I know people were having trouble taking their coffee cups into the game, into the stadium, so they'd have to go to their car or they'd have to check them and be not sure if they're going to get it straight. Back.
You can take this in to the stadium, but you can't take this in to the stadium.
You kill somebody, you hit them upside the face with that cowbell.
But it's allowed.
It's like a wrestling weapon.
I know. I don't understand the rules. But whatever. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all good. But yeah, so an opportunity now to buy them and limited time only for people who get their orders in now. Free shipping, too. So
wow. I love it.
It's a big day.
So where do
Norway,
we go?
Will you ship it to Norway.
Ship it to Norway. Trent, we'll good morning, Trent.
Get on it.
Good evening. How are things in Norway? Hello to all our 19 viewers in Norway this morning. This thing is very quickly going off the rails today. I'm going to try and pull it back onto the road and talk about the Riders destroying the BC Lions the other night, 45-18. What do you got?
We got our first sale.
We got our first sale
ring
already.
Ring the bell.
Smoke. Whoa. Who is that?
Ring the bell. So
it's not Telemiracle.
Andrew bought a mug.
Oh, did he? Thank you, Andrew.
Great stuff.
We'll also have them for sale Thursday at the tailgate, right, with the Canadian Armed Forces.
Yes.
Regina Rifles tailgate party. I knew this was getting crazy. So back to the game. Abu, you were barbecuing. You probably I was hosting a party. I was running around ballers. I didn't watch every single snap. But what I saw was absolute domination by the Riders over the BC Lions, who look terrible. They're on pace to be one of the worst teams in CFL history. How did this happen so quickly? How much of the game did you see?
Oh, I saw all of it because of the magic of PVR. I'm very
right.
We were commenting before the game that I didn't even know what time it started at. I'm like, oh, this game's going to be great at 8 o'clock. They're like, what?
Oh, you really blew that one.
Well, I just got back into town. The PVR was going, so I watched it. I'm kind of sick of watching these boring CFL games. Toronto, BC.
Stop it.
It just makes it boring, a blowout. We like action. We like seeing. I like seeing offense. I don't like seeing crappy, incomplete.
You're going to be one of those guys, huh? Bad football.
No, I'm just saying it's bad football. It makes it hard to watch. There's no, what's a good football? Well, for me, a good football is continuity. First downs, you know, some adversity on defense, some, you know, challenging situations on offense, you know, third and an inch and, you know, you're interested. First, second down, punt. First, second down, punt. First, second down, punt. First, second down, punt. Sack, 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 sack. Yeah. Man, it's different when you're watching BC versus Calgary or someone that's you're not very vested in, like Saskatchewan. It's easy to tune out. But, man, BC's bad. Like, it's not even that. We're talking about the sacks. They're only giving up a few sacks a game, but every throw, and I mean every throw, is being influenced by either a hand in his face, some pressure on him. He has to manipulate his throw it sidearm, can't step into it. That's every single pass in that game. And, yeah, you want to see your defense play well, but,
yeah,
like I'm saying, it gets kind of boring.
Well, no, that aside,
they're that bad.
Your ticket does not guarantee an entertaining game. If you read the small print, it doesn't. So there's nothing. I get that the games weren't that great this week. Well, the Winnipeg-Hamilton game was pretty good, unless you're a Bomber fan. And hello to everybody watching this morning from Winnipeg. But here's the thing that I think. The talent from teams 1 through 9 in the CFL isn't that much. And
no,
I think you would agree.
Is. Yeah.
BC's not as bad talent-wise as their record. They're playing terribly. They're playing unmotivated. They are. That's my thing. Would you go along with that? There's something wrong there. And that's why I think there will be a position coach fired in BC on this bye week just to wake everybody up. They're playing terrible. I don't think they are terrible. There's a difference.
I think it's become too easy to be like to say that you suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you say you suck, you can get better. I mean, we're not football players. Generally, aren't snowflakes. They know what's up, you know. BC's offensive line sucks. They're horrible. They need
True.
To. They could go out and get three new guys. I won't say five because some guys throw flashes in the pan of doing well. They're horrible. So you can say put them in the same spot, keep them in the same spot. Yeah, if you put them in and let them. I mean, I was horrible, and they let me play right guard for a year until I stopped sucking a little bit. So I mean, that's maybe what needs to happen. But they're still. They need better players.
Yeah, it's not good when at the end of that half, I mean, we're all intuitive when we're around the game so much. You know it. You get a feeling. You have a feeling when the game's going to shift one way. You get a feeling on how the game's going to go. And when Ryan Langford brings that kick back at the end of the first half and makes it, what, was it a 7 or a 10-point game at that point? You weren't worried.
No, that's
right. That should have shifted the entire game, should have shifted the whole game, should have made it a completely different second half, and should have made Rider fans, who are used to this kind of thing, should have made us very worried. But I wasn't at all, and I don't think you were either.
Hang on, guys. We got a break. I don't want to break because we're in the middle of a good discussion. However, our special guest has arrived. Not that you're not special, Abu, but this guy's more special. Ivan Goodfriend will be joining us in the bunker next, the Hall of Fame athletic therapist of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That's next. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and find our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes?
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Monday morning, episode number 41 of the show. We've got people chiming in with their favorite all-time number 41s. And Ron Atchison's name's come up, along with Tyron Brackenridge. From the NHL, Brent Gilchrist. And from the NBA, Dirk Nowitzki. So it's episode number 41. We're asking you to remember your favorite all-time number 41s. Nine orders have come in already, DuPont said, for rodpeterson.com, Rod Peterson Show merchandise. So rodpetersonshow.com is the place to go. Promo code RIDERSWIN. And by the way, we've partnered with the Saskatchewan Rattlers pro basketball team of the CEBL to give away two tickets every day this week. So comment now with "I want Rattlers tickets" to enter. I'm pointing at our Facebook wall here as everybody's writing in to enter the contest. And also the Prince Albert Raiders have notified us that the WHL Cup is in the Queen City this week for the next 3 days. And if we want it here, and well, of course we do. So Raiders, congrats on winning the WHL championship, and we'd love to put it right here on the coffee table. Well, it is a special treat. Ivan Goodfriend joins us here in the bunker. Am I right, Ive? In 38 years with the green and white?
38 years.
Wow, that's a lot. You saw a lot of guys come and go.
Yes, I did. And also, I spent 8 years with Sandy prior to that. So from 1970 till 2015, I guess that's a little bit of time.
I'm not good at math, Abu. You are. How many years is that?
A lot.
46 years. Wow, a half a century with this club.
Yes.
Well, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Life is good.
I feel good, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's
believe
good.
Believe it or not.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. Although, Abu, did he not seem cranky a lot of the time? Or is that
Man,
just me?
Man, if you had to deal with these, with us, with me, you'd, you know, I would think he was the opposite of cranky, given everything that was going on.
Yeah.
But definitely on the cranky radar.
I'm teasing you, of course, Ive. Yeah.
I've had my cranky moments, so there's no question.
Yeah. Well, hey, what do you remember about Mike Abou-Meshrick in those illustrious 2 years? I mean, you guys spent some good time together, you two.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I remember the 1 year, I believe it was 2007, that Mike used to always go down. I said, good grief, I used to spend more time running back and forth. I put in more yards than our running back that year. So, anyways.
What answer did you get?
I'm fragile.
Not much. He was fine.
I'm like a Lamborghini, you know? Like, you don't just take it out of the garage. You got to, like, make sure it's running well.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time on the field just going back and forth for this guy.
Pigeon, didn't they call it?
Yes.
That's the designated go down guy for all those that know.
Yeah. Yeah, Ivan, I was really good at it.
Of all, you're from Leader, Saskatchewan. You're a provincial treasure and an icon of the franchise. And you're very, which I say, public. I saw you walking around Wascana Lake last week. That's when I said, we got to get Ivan in on the show. People know who you are because you're on TV every week for 40 some years. What's the question you get the most from Rider fans when they see you?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question. I really don't. Well, a lot of times I get the question, what's the most common injury? And
really?
You know, those kinds. Yeah, believe it or not. And, you know, I mean, sometimes I think they think that, you know, something really horrific happens all the time. But you know, like, you know, your hamstrings are your most common problems, you know, and an ankle sprain and those kinds of things. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. But I know people, you know, people are expecting me to say something grandiose like a fractured femur or an ACL every other day. But those things don't happen. They happen often enough, but they don't happen as much as people think they do.
Well, the question I thought you might have got, because you've got three rings, right? Is what's your favorite Grey Cup championship? 89, 07, and 2013. Do you ever get that one?
07, because it was the best one.
Well, yes, I have been asked that question. But, you know, I have to say the 89, you know, matter of fact, I still remember Terry Jones asking for a comment after the 89 Grey Cup when we were in Toronto. And obviously, when you've gone through 11 years of not making the playoffs, And finally to get to that pinnacle where you win the Grey Cup, just that alone was very gratifying. They're all important. They're all great. And as a matter of fact, the thing that bothers me the most, believe it or not, was the 2009 Grey Cup, the one that we lost.
Of course.
That is one that that's just etched in my mind to this day. And so. It took a long time for me to get over that one, but you know, that was a game what we should have won and we didn't win. But 89, I have to say, was obviously it was the first one, and there was a long drought at that point.
Abu, you jump in anytime if you got something for Jive and Ivan here.
Well, you know,
because I could go on all day.
I've been in circles with Ivan where there's not cameras around, and he's answered some questions of his career, or you know, Pulley and Alday can throw in some stories too. And I don't think those really appropriate to ask what I really want to ask. But how hard is it to? Because I mean, you've worked with literally tens of thousands of players, and I imagine one of the hardest things to do is decipher whether a guy's got a broken leg or a boo-boo.
Yeah.
Because the acute pain isn't always, like when a guy's rolling around on the floor, it's usually not a severe injury, where it's the other way around.
Right. You know, it's what was his name, Sean, from the 2019?
Sean Lucas?
Sean Lucas. I remember,
number 31.
Yeah, number 31. Sean Lucas. I remember Lance Fraser. They were two very good friends. But I remember Sean Lucas. I can remember I went out onto the field, and oh, my goodness, I thought he had broken something. Yeah, broken his arm, his elbow, or whatever it was. I mean, he was just ranting and raving. And anyways, he came off to the sideline and started moving it around. And there was absolutely, he was back in for the next play. But I thought that he broke his arm, you know, the way he was acting and flailing on the field.
So do you, when it's a DB down versus, I don't know, say an offensive lineman, do you kind of say, all right, we ask him what his pain is, and he says an eight, then.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that you have to let the person settle down. Sometimes they overreact. Sometimes they think it's worse than it actually is. And so you have to have some kind of a calm demeanor with them just to let them settle down and ask some pertinent questions. And then you have to reassure them that, no, it's not this, it's not that, or whatever. So, you know, a lot of times, surprisingly enough, as I'm running onto the field, I have a pretty good idea of what the problem is, at least by the way they're grimacing or grabbing for a body part. And so you have to sort of, think about the mechanism of injury as you're going out there. And so you have a pretty fair idea of what is wrong.
Ivan, good friend with us, 46 years. I thought it was 38. Wow.
38 full-time.
Well, no, 40, we'll say 46 with the Riders. Questions are coming in from the Facebook feed, and it's come from a few. Mike in Fort McMurray, Alberta, says this morning, I'm curious what Ivan thinks should happen with Zach Collaros. We've heard what players think, but it'd be interesting to get his opinion. Somebody else just asked Ivan's thoughts on the Zach Collaros situation. I'll just leave it there. What do you think? You're following it.
You know, I've been asked that question a fair amount, to be quite honest, just from people. And you know, one of the things that I have, obviously you take courses in the off season, and so I've taken a few concussion courses, and that seems to be a big, obviously that's a big deal. And I know one of the points that I, as a matter of fact, I just threw those notes out the other day. One of the points that I remember from a conference prior was that any player that has had three concussions the previous year are three times more likely to get one the following year. And so, Zach has had, I'm going to say, probably in the vicinity of four or five concussions that we are aware of. And so, to me, that does not bode well for his health. And so, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm sure, obviously, he's here for this year. My opinion is Fajardo.
Oh, Fajardo,
If Fajardo continues to play the way he is, I think he might just be an emergency. I don't want to be a coach, but I think that's where he's going to be at. And they're going to need him at some point this year, but I think for the sake of his health, I think that he has to sit down with his family and really, think about what he's going to do after this year.
But what's the ruling? I get it. He's a player, and once he's deemed fit after the sixth game, the Riders can release him and not be responsible for his salary. Well, I don't think they would, or they should, but could they not? Or they're opening themselves for a lawsuit, though, if they do. But they could, no?
Yeah, that's true. But, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard from a medical point of view to give him that kind of a clearance, having suffered as many concussions as he has. Do you do that? I don't know. I don't think they will.
No,
I know what you're saying, and obviously that's happened in the past where players become healthy and boom, they're gone.
You got to
and
the thing is healthy.
And this guy is a veteran, a 5-year veteran, unless they've changed the rules. I mean, after the ninth game, which is usually about Labor Day or the Banjo Bowl, that's when you're locked in as far as a veteran not being able to be released. I don't think they'll do that. I think he can still play, and I think they'll probably need him at some point down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's changed, Ivan, I mean, I grew up here listening to you do the interviews with Jeff Currier from the trainer's room. We're going way back into the 80s, and then we continued that when I took over in 99. I don't think coaches would allow that interview anymore. You know how things have changed? So you used to detail all the injuries, and now they don't want to talk about them.
No, they don't. And, you know, I mean, it's right. You know, the thing is, this is that you can't, I mean, you know, one of the things I learned with all the coaches that I've gone through is that you can't really tell them what to do or whose health, but what you do with the player once they're healthy or not. I mean, all you have to do is give them the information and let them decide for themselves what they want to do. You know, because, I mean, all you do is give them the information and they can decide whether the player, whether it's in the best interest of the player to continue playing or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing I learned.
But how or why did it become so secretive? I would just say over the last 10 years, it's not just here.
Yeah.
It's the entire sport of pro football.
I don't know. But at the same time, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's a lower body injury. It's an upper body injury.
If they say that at all. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, they're always concerned about, you know, playing their next opponent. They don't want to give something away that a player is healthy or not healthy or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, just this past week with Mazzoli, I mean, as soon as he went down, I looked at my daughter and I said, I think he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can pretty well tell when a person goes down and grabs his knee and you know, is in breathing and pain, you know exactly what's happened. But, I mean, people are making, I mean, they came out right away and said that he's done for the season. So, you know, you're right, though. I mean, it seems like they're swinging the other way again.
Yeah, exactly. But you remember when Field Turf came in, Ivan. Oh. I mean, this is your life. Field Turf was supposed to prevent these things.
Well, it doesn't. It's interesting that when we went from the Omni Turf or the Tartan Turf or whatever you want to call the turf that we had before, which was as hard as a rock, Field Turf was coming in. And so we were in the process of getting a new surface, and AstroTurf was the only other option.
Right.
But you know what? I phoned a lot of the Big 12 teams in the States in the conference, and I phoned a lot of the about four or five NFL teams, and at that time the feedback I got from them, they weren't convinced that Field Turf was the option, was the way to go. I was quite shocked at that. So obviously I gave that information to the people involved, and so they decided to take on Field or AstroTurf. But AstroTurf didn't last 5 years, and we went right to Field Turf. So, I mean, obviously, at that point, it was just relatively new. We were in need of a new turf, and so what do you do? Do you go with a proven product, or do you try something new? And so that's why we went to AstroTurf, or that's why they decided to go to AstroTurf versus Field Turf. But that didn't take less than 4 or 5 years for them to switch over to Field Turf, because there was more data based on Field Turf being safer.
I have a good friend's got a roll before too long at the top of the hour, so if you got questions for him, let us know. Blake writes in from Kindersley this morning. Ivy says, out of all the coaches, who was your favorite / best to work with?
You know, there was a few of those, but I have to say that that Ken Miller, obviously I had him speak for me at the Plaza of Honor, and you know, he was a very good person to work with. I mean, there was a lot of good people to work with, but he was probably, if you will, the best person to work with that I've ever had as a coach. I've had a few bad ones, but I've had a few difficult ones.
Mm-hmm.
But Ken Miller, I must say, was a pretty good person to work for.
Why?
Well, he understand what our role was, and he took all our medical information and used it to at his leisure. So, I mean, he did weigh in on our answers from our medical staff, and so he always listened. And I'm not saying that he always took that advice, but I mean, he was always low key. He was always even keeled. He never got excited. Never got mad. We just gave him the information, and he just ran with it.
Was Don Math? Are you one of the guys that loved Don Matthews? Because most of the guys I know that worked with him did love him. Are you in that camp?
Well, I wouldn't say I loved him, but Don Matthews wasn't as difficult to work with as people think. I would give him information and he would say, okay, yes, fine. And he would go on with that. But he wasn't a difficult person to work with. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed working with him. There's other people that were far less willing to work with me. For example, like Jack Gold was a tough cookie. You couldn't say anything bad about the guy because he was a coach of the year in the CFL and the USFL. So, I mean, obviously he...
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing, but he was a tough guy to work for.
He's my step-uncle, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Not with us anymore, unfortunately. But,
no, he's not.
And, quite a guy. Listen, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. This is fine. Ty, last one, Jivan. I want to know who the toughest guy Ivan's ever seen take the field is. And I would suggest that's a long list. Maybe not. Who's the toughest guy?
There's, there's quite a few people in that category. A guy like Dan Rasevich, Dave Albright, believe it or not, Ronnie Lancaster, Kent Austin. I put a couple of quarterbacks in there. You're quite shocked at that. You'd think he'd be a linebacker or a defensive lineman. I mean, there's lots of guys that were tough, but the guys that you don't expect, like Ron Lancaster. I mean, he would. I remember when I was working with Sandy at the time. I mean, he had fractured ribs, for goodness sakes, in a game, and he continued to play. And so, I mean, and Kent was very similar. He had some real issues, and he continued to play. So I admire those guys because they're your leaders when you think about it. And so if you have a leader that does that, that's a quarterback. People are going to pay attention as far as in the locker room is concerned. So. But there's a lot of guys, a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen. You have to be tough to play those positions because they take a lot of abuse. You know, people are always constantly running at them from different angles. So, but anyways, those are my...
Yeah, Darian was pretty tough too.
Who's that?
Darian.
Darian. Yeah, he was. That was a real surprise when he tore his Achilles on... I don't know how that happened or why it happened, but there was no follow up there's no preamble to that one at all. He had no contact, never had an issue with his ankle whatsoever or his Achilles whatsoever prior to that. One of the things I will say this about, I mean, I've gone through 14 Achilles tendon ruptures in my career, and not one of them had a precondition. In other words, Achilles tendonitis or whatever. Not one of those. And so I know a lot of people who do have Achilles tendonitis think, oh, well, it's going to tear. Not necessarily, because Laurie Skullwood had the worst Achilles tendonitis I've ever seen in an individual, and he never tore his.
Hmm. Hey, last one, Ivan. I know you got to go to this golf tournament. Just on the Zach thing, I think people really want to know what you think. Is it going to ultimately be up to him? He's going to have to be the one that says his career's done, right? The team... can't go to him and say you're done.
He's part of the process. There's no question. The general manager, head coach, and Zach they're going to have to discuss that one. And those are the three people that are going to have to come to some conclusion with regards to that. And I don't want to say that he's done, but I think he has to sit down and have that discussion with his family, and see where he goes from there. But I don't think anybody wants to put somebody out there that's going to jeopardize their health. Mm-hmm. So what he decides to do, I don't know.
Ivan, this has been awesome. I feel like we're just scratching the surface, so hopefully you can come back someday. Say hi to all the boys at the golf.
I will.
And enjoy the rest of summer.
I will.
All right. Okay. Ivan, good friend with us, 46 years with the Riders as athletic therapist. Back with more with the Boo and more coming up in hour two. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes? For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.